Welcome into the Celtics trade deadline special. I am Abby Chin. My emoji for the day, joined by Brian Scalabrine and H-Rod Blakely. Emoji's a big deal with the Celtics.
I'm all about the thumb. Week. That's my emoji. Just let's go.
Tommy Hines and Anna Manafluegrad will join us a little later in the show. But without further ado, we're going out to the man of the hour, Celtics president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge. Danny, the Celtics standing pat for a second straight year. First of all, just how hectic was today for you guys and how aggressive were you out there on the market?
Well, you know, it's not just about today. It's like it's been going on for a few weeks, even a couple of months in some scenarios. So even some trade discussions have been going on for over a year. So I think that it was a busy week and finalizing like whether to do deals or not do deals. But it's all part of it. And we're excited about where we are as a team. We're excited that our team is finally healthy. And we're excited looking forward to the draft this year.
Yeah, so moving forward, is it some relief that you can now look forward to the day the ping pong balls bounce or looking at your team and you don't have to worry about making any moves as far as trade, but maybe into the buyout market? Is it a little relief that you didn't have to make any drastic moves?
Well, no, I don't think it's a relief. I think that, you know, we're just trying to get our team better. And we're listening to a lot of opportunities and having a lot of discussions, Scal, but I don't think it's a relief. You know, we spend a lot of time and work and had some objectives that we wanted to accomplish that we just weren't able to accomplish. But in hindsight, sitting here now after the fact, I'm glad we didn't do them. I'm glad that we didn't do any deals that were bad deals, and we can move forward. We're in a very good position, and looking forward, I'm very excited about our future.
Danny, this is Sherrod. When you talk about that future, Danny, one of the things that it seems by standing pat, it solidifies that cap space you guys theoretically are going to have this summer. Talk a bit about how did that play a factor, if at all, in your decision to stand pat this year, the flexibility you guys would have going forward.
Well, you know, cap space is a valuable asset in and of itself. And players that we didn't want to spend a lot to rent players, and it wasn't our objective to acquire players that had a cap hit for this summer. So it is an asset, but for the right players, we of course would do that, and we would absorb the cap hit and take away some cap space for the right players. Every deal is within itself a conversation and a well thought out process of whether we should or shouldn't do it. And but that is part of the thought process, you bet, is how it affects our flexibility going forward.
Danny, you guys clearly are in a great position in this rebuild, and you've done that by continuing to be patient and, like you said, not making any bad moves. But do you feel like there's starting to be this sense of urgency now that there are only two of those Brooklyn picks left and just with where the roster is now?
You know, I remember having the same discussion last year, Abby, and at this time. And, you know, we didn't make any deals last year, and it wasn't for lack of trying last year and this year. But I think that, you know, we came away with Al Horford in the summer. We drafted Jaylen Brown. Jaylen's just continually getting better. I'm very excited about the future of both those guys. We also were able to get Ante Zizic, who's having a terrific year over in Turkey. And I think that our future is looking good. And I think that we were able to accomplish some things. It just didn't happen right then and there. They're looking back a year from now. I think by the end of this year, we're going to look back and say that last year was a good summer. We hope to have another good summer this year, whether we use the draft pick, whether we trade the draft pick. But I think we can't go wrong as long as we just don't screw it up and pay too much for certain assets.
Yeah, Danny, how delicate is that balance, wanting to compete now versus really planning and looking towards the future?
Well, I think that that's probably the most difficult part of it, Abby, is, you know, the timelines. You know, timelines of young players and timelines of veterans. It was a difficult balance in 2008, 9, 10, 11 also, where we would draft young players that weren't quite ready to fit into our roster. But, you know, it was amazing how we were able to implement, you know, the veteran players with a young group of guys as well. We got play out of Big Baby Davis. We got good play out of Delonte West. And then we were able to move those into better players. But then Leon Poe was able to help us in, you know, winning a championship, as was Kendrick Perkins. I mean, every team, whatever phase you're in, championship caliber team or team that's building, you know, needs these rookie contracts on their books and needs draft picks in order to acquire assets once you're over the cap. And I think we're just in a really good position. And, you know, but I'm really excited for the second half of the year. I think we haven't seen the best of our Celtics team. And I think that the best is ahead of us this year.
Danny, when you talk to other teams about your Brooklyn picks, and do they value those as the number one pick? Do you value those as the number one pick? And then will you be disappointed if that pick becomes the third or fourth pick in the draft?
You know, like, there's nothing we can do about it, Scal. You know, you prepare for whatever possibilities may come. So, yeah, right now, as that pick stands, it could be 1 through 4. We don't know yet, and we'll prepare for all of it. But I think it's human nature when you're making deals, you know, whether it's in business or in basketball, or whether you're sitting around a card table, I think that, you know, you're always weighing the risk. We logically understand that pick could be number one or it could be number four and anywhere in between. And the team that's making a trade for those picks, they obviously know the same thing. But I think it is human nature to think of what the best possible scenarios are and the worst possible scenarios.
Danny, you guys have struggled rebounding the ball pretty much all season long. There's been stretches where you guys have been solid, but the fact that you decided to stand pat and you're obviously looking for growth from within, what do you think has to happen for you guys to be a bit better on the rebounding side of things? Because, and as you know, that's a big part of winning as you get deeper into the regular season and the playoffs, for that matter.
Well, I think that's a good question, Sherrod. I mean, that's been a question that we've been battling all year. And it seems like whenever we practice and have a chance to really focus on it, we do better. I can tell if our team is going to have a good night some nights by how I see the effort and the intensity of our gang rebounding. And so I think that is something that is a challenge for us. But, excuse me, the strength of our team is skilled bigs and a spread floor. And, you know, with our guards penetrating to the basket and having an open court and using the three-point line, that's our strength. If we add a rebounder that doesn't need it to be guarded at the defensive end, or at the offensive end for us, I think that could jam things up too. It's not just as simple as going to find someone that can rebound the ball and take away from the strength of our team.
And that being said, Danny, the buyout market is going to be, you know, brisk fairly soon, if not already. How aggressive or active do you think the Celtics will be as far as looking at potential players that you could maybe add to the mix to help solidify some of those areas of concern?
We'll look at it. You know, we'll weigh each guy that comes on the market and see if that can be a boost to our team. At the same time, I like our team. And, you know, like, bringing in new players sometimes messes up your whole chemistry and it shifts somebody into a different role that they're not accustomed to doing. I mean, you better know what you're getting. And I've been involved in this buyout process for a long time, and Scal knows this, being on the team. I mean, sometimes we brought in Michael Finley or Sam Cassell, or you know, PJ Brown turned out to be a very good asset to us, but most of the time it sort of disrupts things. And you know, at the end of the year you go, wow, we probably shouldn't have done that. Even though on paper it looked like a great acquisition, it really wasn't as good as everybody thought it was going to be. With very little practice time in the season, and with 25 games only left in the season, I think that you better be sure that you're adding not just a better player, but someone that's going to fit into your system and pick it up pretty quickly.
Danny, looking at the bigger picture, the Lakers made a lot of headlines this week, giving Magic Johnson a lot of the power in that front office. I know you can't speak to specific conversations, but how fun is it that yourself, Larry, Magic, and now Michael Jordan really shaping and forming this league today?
Well, first of all, Magic is fun. I mean, I've known Magic for a lot of years, and he is fun. He's got a big personality, unbelievable charisma. He's fun to talk to. I mean, I called him a couple times this week, knowing that we probably didn't have any deals. I teased him about the fact that, you know, his transition was going about as smoothly as Donald Trump's transition, because he didn't even have a phone extension yet.
It was probably as
and
as that
and he here. Made the comment to me. He said he made the comment to me. He said, you know, can the Lakers and Celtics even make a deal? Is that like, is that possible? And I said, yeah, you're like Donald Trump and I'm Vladimir Putin.
So, Danny, what are your expectations?
Anyway, well,
expectations moving to the second part of the season.
Say that again.
What are your expectations moving to the second part of the season and even, you know, making this deep playoff run?
You know, I don't have any. I don't want to put a ceiling on the team by making any of my own predictions. But I do predict one. I have one prediction, and that is I think you're going to see our best basketball, you know, in a month from now. You know, assuming we stay healthy, which is always a key for every team. But I think that a month from now we'll be playing our best basketball going into the, heading into the playoffs.
The names you guys are linked to, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, guys like that. Does that possibility excite you at all to possibly play with one of those guys?
For sure. I mean, those is all-star type players, superstars. They change, can change your organization. But like I've always said, I'll roll with the guys I got in this locker room until something changes. And I always mean that.
No question about it. That was Isaiah Thomas at practice today before the trade deadline happened. Abby Chin alongside Tread Blakely. Scal is on the move, but we are joined now by the Hall of Famer, Tommy Heinsohn. Tommy, what do you think about the Celtics standing pat today?
I think it's great. I really do. You know, Red Auerbach used to say the best trades we ever made is the ones we didn't. And it is very meaningful what Danny just said about chemistry. They spent the last 5 years finding talent that would mesh together along with personalities. And it's really working very, very well right now. And if you're considering a trade, everybody says, well, we're going to add this guy. The first thing you got to do is subtract the people that you have to get rid of in order to get that one guy. And by and large, that really doesn't work to your advantage when you add the chemistry in. For instance, they got Isaiah Thomas for the 27th pick in the first round. They lost nothing. When I was coaching, we got Paul Silas for Charlie Scott, who was in the ABA. All right? We got Bill Russell because we traded the ice capades. So you give up nothing, and those are the best deals. I mean, these teams here, a couple of teams gave up a significant parts of their youth that really looked like they would make really stable players for the future for these franchises. For instance, Chicago. I thought Chicago did a dumb thing.
Well, but Tommy, I feel like it's impossible to always come out on top. That's the point of a trade. Both side feels like they need to win something. So to get a guy like a Paul George or Jimmy Butler, the Celtics are going to have to give up something. Don't you see
those guys?
Yeah, they
want the entire team. Okay. They overvalue that play. You got to be realistic. You know what you're trying to do? In all of this stuff, you're not going to get superstars, all right? Unless you do, you trade the entire team. You're trying to get a player that fits in a slot that makes you that much better, all right? And you keep the nucleus. The gears are meshing. Don't screw around with it. And it'll be better next year because you've got the proper mix of youth and age and experience. I think next year this team is going to be terrific, and if they get lucky in the draft and get a number one pick, they'll be really, really good.
And yes, that was part of the Celtics, I'm thinking, was that, you know, they were playing with house money for the most part. When you look at the way they are right now position-wise, the fact that they've got so many options going forward in terms of the draft, in terms of the salary cap, there really wasn't this sense of urgency that they absolutely had to go out and get a player or two to bolster their roster. Whereas you look at a team like Toronto, they knew they had to do something because their window of opportunity is very small right now, whereas the Boston Celtics, it's just starting to crack open. And that's why Danny standing pat really shouldn't be that big a shock or disappointment, I think, to Celtics fans.
It's not surprising, but I think Celtics fans, I mean, as Tommy said, right now you're looking to make moves to get this much better, but to actually win a championship, which is what this franchise is all about, they have to get a lot better, and that move wasn't available.
Well, I don't
today.
Think there wasn't one move that could do that. I mean, yeah. At some point, you're still going to have to deal with Cleveland. You're still going to have to deal with Golden State if you're talking about winning a championship. And right now, there's not one player that you can add to the mix that can get you there. And remember, to add a player that's really great, as Tommy mentioned, you're going to have to give some guys away. And I just don't think the Celtics were in a position where they could add a player and still be able to maintain a relatively high level in terms of their status in the East.
They got Al Horford as a free agent. And I want to tell you, he was a very important piece of what they're doing. And his stability and his experience has been really, really important for the success of this team. That's the type of thing that you want to do. Find a guy like that. You're not going to, maybe you can finesse a Wilt Chamberlain or a Bill Russell or a Michael Jordan out of a team. I doubt it. All right? That's not going to happen.
Well, Tommy, that's actually the perfect segue because we are going to bring in Amanda Flugrad from Celtics Post Up and Celtics.com to possibly look at the free agent market. Amanda?
Yes, thank you very much, Abby. And Danny Ainge, he was not disappointed with what happened today. He said he's fully confident with this team moving forward. So let's spin this in a positive way, Scal, and we'll take a look at the 2017 free agents here at the top. Durant.
Oh, I'm not doing the Kevin Durant thing again.
We'll hone in on some different players, but okay. Some of these guys obviously have the player option, which they might necessarily exercise, but let's hone in on Blake Griffin. Do you okay. see him? You'll talk about him
yeah,
on here.
Yeah.
The potential
I'm
of
done
him.
With Durant.
The potential of him coming to Boston.
Well, here's the thing. So it all goes back to how the Clippers are going to play this year. If everything works out for them, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, those guys are locked in, and they make some kind of headway moving forward in the playoffs, then Blake Griffin will re-sign with the Clippers. Now, let's say it all implodes. Let's say they get a bounce in the first round. More injuries, which we've seen a lot with the Clippers. Then Blake Griffin's going to be available. Now, will he come to Boston? I'm not sure. Will he fit in with Boston? I'm pretty certain that he would. I think you'll start seeing a shift from him moving from the four position when he plays with DeAndre Jordan and switching him to that five position, sort of the Draymond Green of the Celtics. So Blake Griffin's interesting. The only thing I'd be a little weary of is he's had some injuries lately. Mm-hmm. How long do you want to stretch that? Do you want to give him 5 years, $150 million? Not sure the Celtics do.
All right, next up, Gordon Hayward. He already has that pre-existing relationship with Coach Stevens at Butler. Could he potentially be Boston?
Now, you know for a fact that Jay Crowder's not here, right? Because I don't want to go off and talk about how good Gordon Hayward is and get disrespect my man
He'll
Jay
tweet
Crowder.
About it, maybe, if he sees that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Listen, to me, this is my target. I would love to have Gordon Hayward on this team. And look, at just like what Tommy said, in addition to what you have. And listen, the cream will rise to the top, and the people who aren't part of this rotation will work themselves out. But Gordon Hayward, to me, is a guy that can really fit into what they're doing. He can play on the ball. He can run pick and roll. He can play off the ball. He can spot up. He posts up guys when they go with other small lineup, and he has pretty good defensive versatility. So I'm a big, big fan of Gordon Hayward. I think he'd be a great fit here. Listen, Utah runs this slow-paced offense. Imagine him in the Brad Stevens, up and down, big man out of the lane. I think he'd be fantastic for the Celtics.
Another guy that Danny Ainge, I should say, has been high on Danilo Gallinari. Just expectations for him.
Well, for Gallinari, there's only one Italian here in Boston, and that's me as of right now. But no, I love Danilo. I think he's a great player, a great fit for this team. We saw that hard dunk he had on the Celtics where we were like, wow, I can't believe he has his hops. But he does. He's actually been playing really well this year. And once again, offensively, versatility. You can play him at the three, underrated on-ball defender. You can play him at the four to stretch the floor out. Always more shooting is what the Celtics are trying to get, even at those big positions.
All right, well, now we're going to go from free agents to potential draft prospects here. And we know the Celtics, they have that chance with that Nets pick. And that Nets pick, it could potentially be the number one or number two choice, really, for this team. But, Scal, when you look at the talent here, let's go to the Pac-12. Markelle Fultz.
That's it.
Isaiah Thomas, high on him. Is he the number one overall
pick? Yeah, there's no question about it. Markelle Fultz is the man. I mean, if you think – I watch all their games. I record every single one of those games that go on. I don't watch them at 10:30 at night, but I do it the next day. And Listen, he's like a John Wall, a little bit of James Harden. He had the savvy of Harden, but the athleticism of John Wall. I think he's a big-time player. He could play with Isaiah Thomas. A special gift of Isaiah Thomas is his ability to play off the ball. I think he is by far the number one pick. I'm not the only one that believes that. I think league-wide, everyone is sort of saying, I would take Markel Fultz if I had the number one pick.
Keeping it out of the Pac-12, Lonzo Ball at UCLA.
Lonzo Ball, really good player. Think a little mix between a little Rubio, Jason Kidd, but a little more swagger going to the rim. Probably better than both of those guys at finishing at the basket. Loves the challenge, loves being a gamer. But I think his little brother is better, so I'm not sure taking the second best brother in a family. I'm a little wary of that. But, no, he's a really good player. I think he can do a lot of things. I would be slightly disappointed if the lottery ball is bounced a certain way and we got the number two pick versus the number one pick. But Lonzo Ball, athletic, has long. He can defend guys. So he's a really good player. He's just, to me, he's not Markel Fultz.
All right, Scal. Well, thank you for your time. And, Abby, I'll send it back to you, but we're going to come back to me a little bit later. I'm going to discuss Isaiah Thomas and that emoji sign tweet that he tweeted out earlier and really causing a firestorm, I should say, between the media and fans. Welcome back here to the Celtics trade deadline special. We've heard from Tommy, Scal, and Sherrod. Now we get a little bit of a national perspective, bringing in Chris Mannix from The Vertical. Chris, let's start with the Celtics, though, standing pat for a second straight season, even though the Celtics' name involved in almost every trade rumor you hear. What are your overall thoughts on what the Green did today?
Yeah, standing pat is maybe not the right choice of words when it comes to Boston. I mean, they are and have been and continue to be among the most aggressive teams in the league. My sense of Boston is that they had a line in the sand that they just weren't going to cross. There was a type of asset that you were going to be able to get from them. I think you could have gotten the 17 Brooklyn pick. You could have gotten the 18 Brooklyn pick. But if you really wanted to get one of those massive, overwhelming offers that included, say, Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown, you just weren't going to get that from the Celtics right now. Boston really believes that beyond this season, if they get into June and that pick in the lottery turns out to be the number one overall pick, suddenly they're going to be in an even more advantageous position to acquire a Butler or a Paul George before the start of next season. So this wasn't the day that I think Boston sports fans expected, but the Celtics still believe that moving forward, they're in a great spot.
You mentioned Paul George. Reports were out there that the Celtics did offer up both Brooklyn picks, although George wouldn't commit to stay long term to anywhere other than Indiana and his hometown of Los Angeles. So how do you think that played out? How close were the Celtics to actually getting Paul George?
My understanding is that they weren't very close at all. I mean, you're right that they were willing to throw draft picks into the mix. But Indiana has always been kind of wavering on exactly where they wanted to go with Paul George. I mean, their number one goal is not to deal Paul George, it's to build around him. So as much as they were, engaged in conversations with Boston and other teams about George, they were at the same time trying to add pieces to that puzzle. They have two very good players. Paul George is an established all-star, and Miles Turner is not that far behind him. So you've got these two guys as your cornerstone players. They want to show Paul George through trades that they can be a better team. Their goal, as Larry Bird has already said publicly, is to give Paul George the kind of five-year max-level deal that they can offer him this offseason. And they think the only way to get him to do that is to show him the love there at the trade deadline. So even though they were entertaining offers for Paul George, they were far more motivated, Abby, to acquire talent than give it up.
So no Paul George and no Jimmy Butler. I mean, I just left Chicago, and it sounded like those trade talks really were more realistic last season. But what are the Bulls doing, trading away their veteran pieces in Taj Gibson and then Doug McDermott, but still hanging on to Jimmy Butler and not actually doing any sort of rebuild?
Well, the hope they get and they have is that Cameron Payne turns out to be a player. That's the point guard they got from Oklahoma City, and Cameron Payne is a terrific young prospect. Did not get a lot of playing time behind Russell Westbrook playing in Oklahoma City, but he's an offensive-oriented point guard who has a lot of potential. And they're hoping over the next couple of months, you plug Payne next to Jimmy Butler, and he's going to develop into a starting caliber point guard. So, look, we expect Butler to be available at the end of the season once again, especially if Boston winds up with that number one overall pick. But the danger is if Payne, with enhanced playing time, looks like a starter, and all of a sudden the Bulls can say, look, we've got Cameron Payne here, we've got Jimmy Butler there, we keep adding to these two players, we might have something in a couple of years, and we may not be motivated to do it. So they feel like they got better. Whether they did, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, the Celtics do have a 25% chance of landing that number one pick, and they still have another Brooklyn pick next year. From what you're hearing, what is the value of those picks and the assets the Celtics have right now?
Well, enormous value in that Brooklyn pick in 2017. And look, people recognize that 2018, it's not like the Nets are going to, you know, turn into the mid-90s Bulls all of a sudden. I mean, they're going to be bad once again, especially the way Sean Marks, the general manager, has been operating over the last couple of years. They traded a first-round pick before last year's draft to get Caris LeVert. They traded another established player in Bojan Bogdanovic to get a first-round pick. They're building through young talent. So the 2018 pick is going to be very good. The problem is, you know, Boston's not all that eager to throw in a lot of their young players. You might be able to extract Marcus Smart, but if you start talking to the Celtics about Jaylen Brown and Jay Crowder, you better start moving off some of those draft picks, as Boston is just not going to throw all those pieces into play to get one of those two aforementioned players.
You mentioned that move by the Nets. That's the most concerning part about today for me, is that while the Celtics may have been smart in not making any moves, the teams around them are doing things to get better. You talk about Bogdanovic to Washington, and then Toronto adds Serge Ibaka and PJ Tucker, getting much bigger. How concerning is that for the Celtics?
Well, short term, it's very concerning because Toronto is clearly in a position where they think they can compete with Cleveland this year. Serge Ibaka was the deal they previously made. And PJ Tucker is a guy that a lot of people were after at the trade deadline. He is an upgrade for them right away. They're putting all their chips on the table for this year, next year, and maybe the season after that as they try to expand Kyle Lowry's prime years with that team. And Washington, you know, they've been one of the best teams in basketball over the last 2 months, and they add Bogdanovic, who is a very good scorer off the bench, to upgrade a second unit that has really struggled for them. They have a great starting lineup, but really not much of a second unit. Now they add another scorer. So, look, there's no other way to say it, but the competition around Boston just got a lot better, and outside of Avery Bradley coming back from injury, Boston is not getting a lot better.
One trade that did go down, Nerlens Noel headed to Dallas. He's a guy who really has been talked up around here, especially being from Everett, and a guy who was thought to be available to the Celtics. How did he end up in Dallas, and why not Boston?
Well, I mean, I think Dallas was willing to pay a price there. And, you know, Justin Anderson was a first-round pick that they had before. Andrew Bogut, obviously not going to be there very long. But, you know, they wanted to the 76ers really wanted to move off Noel, in large part because they didn't want to pay Noel this summer. He's going to be a restricted free agent this offseason. And of the teams I talked to, a big concern was how much money is he going to garner on the free agent market. All it takes is one team to offer him a 4-year max level deal, and all of a sudden you're in a position where you may not want to pay this guy that money, but you just gave up real assets to go and get that guy. Dallas, they don't care. They consistently strike out in the free agent market. Noel suddenly becomes their big free agent acquisition, and they played really well in the past with Tyson Chandler as the big alongside Dirk Nowitzki. Nerlens Noel is kind of a poor man's Tyson Chandler. You put him alongside Dirk, maybe you can make a run at the 8 spot. Maybe you can continue to expand Dirk's chances, however small, to make a run in the postseason.
Yeah, you said it. Bogut's time in Philadelphia probably won't be long. How do you see the market for him, and is he a possibility to end up here in Boston?
He's a possibility, but it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, Andrew Bogut, you know, not to get too hyperbolic, but he becomes like the Kevin Durant of buyout guys. Yeah. I mean, he is going to be sought after by a half dozen teams, if not more. San Antonio is going to be in on him. You saw Houston make a move today, KJ McDaniels, that positions them to get into the buyout mix with some money for Andrew Bogut. Cleveland's going to be there. And absolutely, Boston's going to be in that mix. Bogut's an 8-rebound-per-game type of guy. He's a rim protector. And we know that Al Horford does not love playing the 5 position. You bring Bogut in, championship experience, rebounding defense, take some pressure off of Bogut. It's an ideal fit for the Celtics, but they're going to have to put their best kind of recruiting hat on. They're going to have to go out there and convince him that Boston is the best place for him to go, because they're going to be teams lining up. They're going to be star players calling. It is going to be a marquee high school player type recruitment of Andrew Bogut.
Chris Mannix, thank you. Do you know if Bogut likes Tom Brady? I think we can make him available, right? All right.
You don't want to use it.
Thank you, Tommy.
You only got
the
one
laugh.
Ace of spades.
I appreciate that. All right.
Let's save that.
Coming up here on the Celtics trade deadline special, we look back at the week that was in emojis and Boogie not bound for Boston. We'll take a look at what could have been.
Celtics trade situation getting more and more interesting.
Tweets and emojis and winks and all that stuff.
We've been fixated on Jimmy Butler and Paul George.
Jimmy Butler. I love Jimmy Butler. There are multiple factors that are keeping the Bulls and the Celtics from getting a deal done.
They aren't really in on George or Butler because they don't really make a difference.
We've heard the other names, the Andrew Bogut's,
Andre Drummond,
Carmelo Anthony's coming, though he's not coming.
PJ Tucker, Jahlil Okafor, Blake Griffin.
What is Danny Ainge going to do?
You have all these assets that you've stockpiled.
Terry Rozier.
Jay Crowder.
Marcus Smart.
Nets picks.
I do not want to sacrifice that Brooklyn pick. Danny, what are you waiting for?
Eventually, when you have coupons, you got to cash some things in, or they ain't no good.
Maybe we're overrating Danny as Trader Danny.
What do you believe of all this
stuff? Nothing. None of it. I don't believe a damn thing.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to our Celtics trade deadline special. I'm Amanda Flugrad here at the Ford touchscreen, and that was the week that was. But on Monday, Isaiah Thomas took to Twitter and tweeted out this emoji. It was the eye emoji, which caused a lot of speculation from fans. And talking to him at practice today, though, he said he simply tweeted it after he was watching a TV show. So nothing really going on there is what media and fans thought. But the eye emojis have really started to surround Twitter here. We have Lucky the Leprechaun. The emoji's going on his eyes. I don't hate this one, but I don't really know. That's from DJ Bean here at CSN. So we have the eye emojis on Lucky. And then we also have this one, Max Letterman, who's always causing trouble here, putting the eye emojis on Tommy. I think that one's a little too big. I don't know what you guys think. Tommy, we're going to get your opinion here in a minute on those. I think they don't fit your face as well. They don't complement your overall look. But because of these Twitter emojis and everything that was going on with these Celtics players, we had Celtics general assistant general manager Mike Zarin, who took to Twitter and said, "Life in 2017. A player randomly tweets eye emojis and 20 reporters instantly text or call you demanding to know when the trade is happening." Laugh out loud. So I was not one of those, but guys, I just want to get your take on that and Tommy, maybe what you think of those emojis.
Wow.
That's all Tommy has
you
to say.
You guys noticed that Mike Zarin didn't have the blue tick?
He's not official?
He's not verified on Twitter.
He's not verified. My man, Mike Zarin, is not verified?
I don't know how that happens. But can we please talk about Isaiah Thomas trolling everyone? He was watching a TV show. Please. He did the eye emojis, saw the internet go crazy, and then he tweeted an hourglass, and everything blows up. It's insane.
I don't really understand it. What's the point? The eye emojis equal what? Did the trade happen?
Well, so the reason
eye emojis, he tweeted those out a year ago around the time that they got Al Horford, and people just tried to play a little game of connected knots thinking that, oh, well, he's tweeting these out now, so that means that the Celtics are close to getting the deal done, which I was not one of the 20 people that called Mike Zarin because I knew it was just Isaiah being kind of silly and just kind of left it at that, but it took on a life of its own.
Plus, Isaiah really wouldn't have known. Hey, the truth.
Right? And then there's that.
Tommy, that is how I picture you, though, sometimes.
This is the trade special, which we made no trade, so we have to talk about eye emojis.
But that is how I picture you sometimes, when you're sitting there furious, just eyes open, like, ridiculous.
Me? That emoji was ridiculous.
All right, how about a trade that did go down, something we haven't talked about yet tonight, and that happened before the deadline. DeMarcus Cousins to New Orleans, the biggest trade of the season so far, in exchange for Buddy Hield, Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, a first-round pick, and a second-round pick. Sherrod, you were actually in New Orleans when this whole thing went down. It was pretty crazy.
It was crazy just because it felt like it came out of nowhere. And when you think about that whole Sacramento front office, I mean, this is exactly what they deserve. I mean, there was clear dissension amongst the ranks. Some wanted DeMarcus to stay, others want him to go. So if we're going to let him go, let's find someone else that the owner is going to fall in love with. And that just happened to be Buddy Hield. So
this was a deal that I just don't feel good about this for Sacramento. Buddy Hield, I think, is going to be a very good player. But DeMarcus Cousins, I just felt Sacramento could have got a little bit more bang for their buck in moving, even with all the issues that DeMarcus bringing him aboard, if you're New Orleans, will bring.
Scal, does it work with those two in the front court in New Orleans?
No, this is usually I'm pretty good at making stuff up and saying I know this will work or I know it won't work. I really don't know. I think with both of those guys to sort of extend their range so they can open up the floor. They both can rebound the ball well. I don't know down the stretch, are you going to play both of them on the floor at the same time? Usually you don't go with two bigs, you go small. But Anthony Davis is a freak of nature. So let me watch for a little bit, Abby, and I'll get back to you after the trade deadline show is over.
Holiday is going to be the key, though. Because, I mean, if he can find a way to keep both of those guys happy and get them involved and not allow them to just get stagnant as a team, I think that's going to be a big factor in whether this thing works. Because I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work because of the way the NBA is set up now, where you have Scal.
I don't understand. If you don't think it's going to work, then why is it a bad trade for Sacramento? If it's not going to work, then
it's not going to work for New Orleans.
Yeah, so then wouldn't that pick be like the seventh pick in
Sacramento
the draft?
Sacramento should have got more for what they gave away. That's my point. That's why I don't. Yeah.
Tommy, I don't know about you. I'm just excited that we don't have to talk about Boogie to Boston anymore.
I will tell you this. There's only one basketball, and there's two egos that are used to being the main man. And if you're a coach right now, you better take them on a duck tour, you know, like Doc Rivers did to try and gear them up to win a championship. Because this, particularly Cousins, I don't think he's one of these guys that agrees to anything. He's going to be the main man in his head forever. So I don't see it working personality-wise.
They did take a private jet somewhere. And right now, Boogie's saying all the right things, but...
Every
Boogie,
says the right
being
thing.
Boogie,
get
I know.
My emoji.
All right. I think we're done with the emoji talks here
emoji.
On the Celtics trade deadline.
Emoji.
I can't make any promises for Tommy, though. Stick around. Much more still to come.
We're trying to upgrade our team. And, but it is a delicate balance of short-term goals and long-term goals. Obviously, both are very important, the here and now and the long-term. But, like I said, we're very excited about we are on a long-term basis. And, you know, this year we didn't make any trades. And last year we didn't make any trades. And we solidified our cap space and we made a run at free agency and we added Al Horford and we added Jaylen Brown and are two of our very best players on our team right now. And, we're happy with the direction that we're moving.
Celtics President of Basketball Operations Danny Ainge speaking with the media earlier today. Here is a look at the Celtics draft assets that they still have after not making any moves here at the trade deadline. The right to swap with the Nets for what looks like the number one pick in this upcoming draft. They still have their pick and the Nets pick in 2018 and then three first-round draft picks. Both, two of those protected coming up in 2019. Brian Scalabrine, Ashrod Blakely, Tommy Heinsohn, gentlemen, still a pretty large treasure trove for the Celtics.
I don't think you can be upset about where the Celtics are at right now and the assets they have moving forward. Brooklyn's not good, so they're not going to be good for a long time. So I don't think right now the Celtics have to – they're not the team in dire need to make a move. Everyone seems to think that – the Celtics are that team, and all the media thinks that the Celtics are that team. And Danny is aggressively going out there and looking to improve his team. But if nothing happens, the number two seed, with the fact that you can get a number one pick as of right now, like, the Celtics are good.
And, Shroud, the reality is just the way the league is right now, unless you're going to be able to compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers or even the Golden State Warriors, I mean, what's the point in doing little moves here or there?
Well, I think as Danny went through this whole process of figuring out which assets to make available and which ones not to, I think at some point he had a keeping it real moment. Is this deal going to make us better than Cleveland? Okay. No. Is this deal going to make us on par with them? Probably not. Why the hell am I going to give away all of my assets or a significant number of my assets going forward if this deal isn't going to make my team go significantly forward? And, again, the Celtics, you look at where they are now, you look at the assets that they have going forward, and you look at the contracts that they got of their players. I mean, there just isn't this sense of urgency that they've got to do something to shake things up because they're in a great position as it stands now with the potential to be even better with the assets that they have.
Pascal getting a phone call. Tommy, I know the fans.
From Danny Ainge. What do you want me to do?
I didn't want to call it out for that one.
Right?
I'm
hey,
sorry
Danny,
about that.
What happened today?
This is live television. Tommy, I know the fans at times find it hard to stay patient, but really, this is the best move for the Celtics right now.
Well, I'm going to harken back to somebody that did, some team that did what everybody says Celtics should do, you know, who are impatient. Remember the Knicks? They had a general manager, Donnie Walsh, who really knew what he was doing, put together a nucleus of a really competitive team that was going to click the next year if you knew basketball. He traded all of that away, that the head man at the Garden, and let Donnie Walsh go to get Carmelo Anthony. All right? That's what happens when you go and you make these rash things just to satisfy the fans. You got to know basketball. Who fits together? I mean, they did it to keep Broadway happy, and Broadway's not happy anymore.
No, although it is like a Broadway show with Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson. No question about it. All right, we are going to wrap things up coming up. We will hear from Paul George what he had to say about Indiana possibly putting him on the market. Plus, Amanda Fluegrad is back, and we'll take a look at the second half of the season when we come back. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to our Celtics trade deadline special. I'm Amanda Fluegrad here at the Ford touchscreen. And the Paul George talk, it's not going away. And just a few hours ago at practice, he told this to reporters, quote, "I kind of was on the ropes just like you guys were on what was about to happen. It was kind of a dark moment of uncertainty, and that was the frustrating part. You want me to be your guy here, but I thought I would be in the loop a little more than that." So seems a little bit annoyed that he maybe wasn't included in all the talks.
Sherrod.
That is code for I'm out, Indiana. I'm out. This is no emoji. This is no gang sign. This is I'm done.
The unfortunate part is he's probably not coming back.
I'm leaving the building in 2018.
No, he's headed to the Lakers.
Sorry, I'm surprised. If I was him, I would have threw a little magic in there. You know, I was just looking for a little magic. You know,
happened at the trade deadline.
He is too.
Yeah, I'm looking to move closer to a lake where there's some magic or something like that.
Boy. So no Paul George, but the fact remains. The Boston Celtics still in second place in the Eastern Conference, 2 games up on the Wizards, 4 games up on the Raptors. But, gentlemen, as we close the show here, and I do want to get your final thoughts, that's my biggest concern, is that the Wizards and Raptors especially got better at the deadline, while the Celtics did not.
Let's clarify. Let's clarify all this, right? We're about winning championships. We're not about, like, losing to the Wizards or the Toronto Raptors, right? So the steps forward. Now, if
I would like to get out of the second round.
And if it doesn't happen and you have the number one pick, are you upset?
I guess not.
Okay, so the issue is this. Two people in this world don't age, Abby and LeBron. So as soon as Abby and LeBron both get older, then the Celtics will be good. So what do you do that we can tell LeBron not to do? Because that's what's happening here. If LeBron gets older, we will be ready to strike to win a championship. Up until that point, do not stick your neck out on the line to beat the Raptors or Wizards.
I do like kale salad. Tommy.
Move along,
please. And as we build a team, make sure that we continue to build a team. And that's where we go. As the other teams nosedive, which happens, they're already having injuries in Cleveland. And all that has to happen is LeBron has a little problem in the playoffs, and the whole picture changes.
The thing I like about the Celtics right now is that they've got teams that have gotten better, and so it's going to force them to step their game up. I worry about them being a number two seed and getting fat and happy. That can't happen if they're going to stay at number two. They have to play with that edge. They have to play with that hunger. And I think when you look at the teams around them and how they've improved, they don't have any choice but to bring that edge to the game on a night-in, night-out basis because they know how important it is to have home court advantage. And if you've got a shot at securing one of those top two or three spots, you can't take no nights off. No nights off.
Well but, said.
Tommy, you've been saying it all night. You agree with Danny. You like this team. How do you see them going forward?
I like this team. This team has got the chemistry going. They believe in each other. It takes years sometimes to do that. And a lot of times it never happens. This team really has a championship mentality. Now, whether they can make it happen, they are playing for each other. They like each other. They sacrifice for each other. So this is the type of team that's going to give it its all. That's all I know from personalities.
Yeah. Just closing out this season, the Celtics, how –
I'm fine. Listen, no matter what happens this season, as long as they don't get bounced in the first round, they win their home game, they have home court, I'm good.
As long as they don't get bounced in the first round.
I'm good.
This was the Celtics trade deadline special.
Bogdanovich, PJ Tucker. Much. I ain't worried about those guys.
Joining us, gentlemen, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Deuces.